Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, a couple days away now, Packers-Eagles Monday Night Football at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. When you look at this matchup, if you had to pick one or two things as the keys to victory for Green Bay to break this four-game losing streak, what do you got?
Well, I think it first starts off with Carson Wentz. I mean, the blueprint for stopping him, I think, has kind of been shown a little bit in terms of when you look at what Seattle did. He hasn't been as infallible as he was during the first 3 weeks of the season. He's been prone to some mistakes, and I think it's going to be important for the Packers. You know, we've talked about this for a number of weeks now, Mike, in terms of generating more pressure on the quarterback and also more turnover opportunities. That hasn't been there, and they're kind of go hand-in-hand with each other. Micah Hyde was talking about this week, too. It's like, you know, he watches some of these games, and balls are just getting batted up, and they're falling right into guys' hands. It just hasn't gone that way for the Packers, but
yeah.
You have to keep working at it. You have to stay consistent, and I think that's what they're trying to get back to is not only generating that pressure on the quarterback, but when a ball does pop up, trying to get underneath it and make a play.
Yeah, for sure. And you talk about maybe if a break like that comes the Packers' way. I look at this game, I just would like to see, I think the Packers need the defense to make a big play in the fourth quarter. When you look at as many things have gone wrong in this four-game losing streak, if you look at the Atlanta game, the Indianapolis game, and the Washington game, one big play by the defense in the fourth quarter potentially turns the tide and gets the Packers a victory. And this defense is struggling, and that's been unfortunate. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. But sometimes maybe that's all it takes is one big play at a key time, at a key moment. With the way the Packers offense has found itself over the last few weeks, I expect Monday night's game to come down to the fourth quarter, and I think the Packers defense is going to have to make a play.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. And going back to our show yesterday, which, by the way, was our 75th, congratulations on that.
You too.
Aaron Rodgers, the confidence he has in the offense, I think that that's one of the reasons why is they feel like they can, the way that they're playing, if they can get off to a faster start, they can go with anybody in terms of being able to put points and production on the board. They've always felt like that, even when the production wasn't there earlier this season. So being able to take that lead, I think if the Packers really can do that, that's going to get this defense even more comfortable in terms of what it's trying to accomplish. Because, yeah, earlier in the season, they did have to win a lot of close ball games. Now, there's a little bit more room for error defensively if the offense can get clicking. And that's really what it comes down to. You look at Philadelphia, they have a lot of weapons. Their tight ends could be an issue again. You know, Zach Ertz is a very talented young man. We'll have to see exactly what to make of their backfield. But there are guys there that can make plays. The Packers need to be able to defensively set the tone, stay true to what they are, and not give up the big plays, because that's been the biggest difference. As much as there's been some production, as much as there's been some touchdowns, it's when the breakdowns happen that you're ultimately dealing with situations like they did in Tennessee and Washington.
Yeah, those big plays are killers. I mean, we've talked about that all the time, and the Packers definitely need to cut down on those. When I look at Philadelphia's defense, Mike McCarthy talked about it this week. This is a formidable defensive front. Their front seven, they rotate a lot of defensive linemen through. They really get after the quarterback. They don't have, you know, any sack numbers that jump off the stat page by any means. But, you know, you turn on the film of, as we talked about earlier this week, the game against Minnesota. This front seven really gets after it. Now, their secondary is not the strength of the defense by any means. The strength of the defense is up front. But playing at home, not only are they 4-0, the Eagles, but they have not allowed an opponent at the link to score more than 15 points in a game this season. So as much as the Packers' offense has gotten going, this is no easy task going into that stadium against that defense and try to keep it going.
It's been a few episodes, but Spofford Stats and Info back and in charge
it's
here
back.
On Packers Unscripted. But you're right. I mean, that's the biggest key, is being able to find a way to get them out of their rhythm, find a way to take them out of their comfort zone. A lot of teams haven't been able to do that this year against Jim Schwartz's guys. I mean, they're a 4-3 defense now. You were talking about some of these defensive linemen. I mean, it starts kind of with Brandon Graham, their former first-round pick, 2010. He's kind of almost having a Pro Bowl-type season right now for them after not really ever being able to attain that type of accolade. So there are weapons there to be cognizant of, but the biggest thing for this Packers offense, is being able to exploit the secondary. The cornerbacks, that's the weak spot for them right now. If they can find a way to get some winnable one-on-one matchups, whether it's Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Jared Cook, a lot of possibilities there for them. If the offensive line can hold up, I definitely see this as a game in which the Packers could put up some points.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got plenty more to talk about here with Monday Night Football coming up in a few days. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Excuse me, Wes Hodkowitz there. And Wes, a quick look at the injury update for the Packers, where things stand right now. We heard from Mike McCarthy that right guard TJ Lang, who's dealing with an ankle foot type of injury, sounds like he's a long shot to be able to get back to play against the Philadelphia Eagles. So Don Barkley, who was dealing with a shoulder injury and was replaced by Jason Spriggs at halftime of the Washington game, those two guys, it'll be one or the other as the Packers continue to work through the practice week here at right guard.
Yeah, and I think it's probably a positive for them that you got Spriggs getting some reps there at right guard. Depending on what exactly happens in this game, we'll wait and see. But now with having Lane Taylor as a starter, it kind of limits them in terms of the guys that they had that were natural guards in terms of the interior of that that offensive line.
Yeah.
So whatever way it shakes out, you know, if TJ doesn't go and it go and Don Barkley can get back in there, he's certainly had a lot of experience. But I was really impressed by what Spriggs, you know, showed in that game. I know you had a chance to talk with him a little bit on Wednesday. This is a young man that even though he never played that position in college, 6'6", 301 pounds, not exactly your prototypical guard, but he made it work.
Yeah.
And that was I walked away impressed from his performance.
Yeah, not only did he not play the position in college, he hadn't played the position, period.
Yeah.
He was an offensive tackle and a tight end in high school, then was essentially a four-year starter at left tackle for the Indiana Hoosiers. So to get thrown in there at guard at halftime of Sunday Night Football and for him to handle himself the way he did, I know he had the one false start in the red zone, which obviously any offensive lineman, you know, that hates it when they do that, you know, when you flinch maybe at the wrong time there. But other than that, the Packers even ran a couple of running plays where they pulled the guard, they pulled Spriggs out and around, which is not a scheme they necessarily use a whole lot. But he was able to get the job done. They were able to get some running plays up the middle there. And but we'll see. Don Barkley is certainly the more experienced of the two. And if his shoulder is back in good shape, maybe they go with the veteran.
Yeah, this is what you have to do, though. I mean, you look at anybody on that offensive line. They've had to adapt. They've had to go in there. And a lot of those guys with Bakhtiari, Lang, even Brian Bulaga, I mean, they got their job basically out of necessity, out of injury. Lane Taylor stepping into that spot this year, too. So to be able to step up, I think, says a lot about that young man. And certainly for the depth of the offensive line going forward, you never know when you're going to need certain guys at certain positions. And he proved that if it does need to be him, that he's definitely up for the challenge.
Yeah, injury-wise on the defensive side of the ball, maybe some good news coming the Packers' way. Demaryius Randall back at practice on a limited basis for the time being. He's been, I guess you would say, maybe in and out of practice a little bit over the past couple of weeks. And, boy, it'd be a nice boost for the secondary to get number 23 back out there. We'll have to see how it shakes out, but I'm sure the Dom Capers and the defensive teammates are crossing their fingers that maybe Randall gets back out there.
Yeah, he makes the entire defense better. Just his playmaking ability, his energy. You've seen him take a step, I thought, this year before that injury happened. And unfortunately, it's been something that has bothered him for basically the last six games, keeping him out. But even before that, he was dealing with a little bit of a groin issue as well. So for him to be able to be back on the field this week, I think it probably shows a lot of really positivity about his progress that he's making. And to be honest with you, watching practice, I thought he looked really good. He seemed really fluid to me. Certainly, they weren't doing any team reps. They weren't doing anything too exertive. But being only a few weeks, you know, about a month away now, I think, since he had that surgery, to be that far along and to show that much progress, I think says a lot about him. And if you're not getting back Sam Shields, you know, Demaryius Randall's the next best thing, and definitely has that that playmaking that this defense has been missing at times.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about this defense wanting to get back to taking the ball away, generating some turnovers. Not to knock the other young cornerbacks who have been out there the last few weeks, but none of them have any interceptions this season. The only cornerback with an interception for the Packers this year is Randall. Week 3 against Detroit, we saw it was sort of an epitome of the aggressive play, the way he plays the position. He just ripped the ball away from Eric Ebron, the tight end for the Lions, and goes sprinting the other way 40-plus yards on a return to set up some points for the offense. Those are the kind of plays that this defense has been missing, and it'd be nice for the Packers to maybe find one or two of those on Monday night.
Yeah, and consider this too, Mike. Last year, Demarius Randall ended up playing a lot of snaps with what happened in the secondary and them needing him to have almost an every down role right off the bat. Ladarius Gunter played 8 defensive snaps his rookie season. Quentin Rollins was not an every down player.
Right.
So for when you're looking at the experience factor or the experience side of this thing, he really is your most experienced guy for being as young as he is. And he went through a lot of those bumps and bruises that some of those guys have felt this season a year ago. Fortunately for him, he had Sam Shields to work off of. Packers don't have that benefit right now. So to get him back out there, it could really deepen out that cornerback group. And depending on what happens with Demetri Goodson, you know, Mackinton, Dorlian, we talked about too yesterday, getting activated. So it seems like, depending on how they play, we'll have to wait and see, but they at least are getting healthier in that secondary.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we will throw it to a break, Wes, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we don't talk too much college football on the show, but with it being Thanksgiving weekend, always rivalry weekend, easy for me to say, in college football coming up on Saturday. And you look at the Big Ten, it's a big weekend. You got Ohio State taking on Michigan, two of the top three teams in the country in the current rankings. The big game for Paul Bunyan's axe in Madison between the Badgers and the Gophers.
Yeah.
And then I know our producer Marvin will have his eye on Michigan State, his alma mater, taking on Penn State, because Penn State will be looking to swoop in and get a spot in the Big Ten championship game if Michigan goes down in Columbus. So a lot of big Ten games to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and for Marvin's sake, Michigan State looking to swoop in for its fourth win of the season. So be really exciting.
Yeah, well, in Marvin's defense, the Spartans took the Ohio State Buckeyes to the wire.
Great game.
Last week. A great game, and Ohio State squeaked it out by 1 point. But yeah, the college football playoff, all this kind of stuff will be sorted out here over the next couple of weeks.
This is the best thing about the Big Ten going to this format, and I know they've been in it for a number of years now, but playing for a conference championship, this is what it's all about. Even you look at the Wisconsin side of things, I mean, yes, they want to go and beat Minnesota, but that's going to be a competitive game, and there's implications on their end of it as well.
Absolutely.
With Nebraska.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of going right with them there. But at the end of the day, it comes down to Minnesota or Michigan and Ohio State, and everything that's gone into that game, the way that Michigan has played for a majority of this season, Ohio State, you know, having the one letdown, but still in the thick of this thing. It's going to be interesting to watch, and certainly seeing, you know, the moment that Jim Harbaugh went to Ann Arbor, it was about, okay, these matchups against Ohio State are going to get really meaningful again. And as Marvin told us, I think they've won 11 of their last 12. This is going to be a tight one.
Yeah, this is a big one for Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. They losing their starting quarterback to an injury definitely doesn't help their cause, and having to go to Columbus with Ohio State was looking like the hottest team in the land there until they kind of had to squeak it out against Michigan State. But Wisconsin, the Badgers, a lot of Packers fans, obviously also Badgers fans, they control their own destiny as far as the Big Ten championship. If they beat Minnesota, they are headed to the Big Ten title game, and they will await to see whether they get Michigan or Ohio State or Penn State, depending on how it shakes out. And then, you know, maybe there's a shot at the college football playoff if the committee likes, you know, what they see going down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. First things first, though, you got to get past the Gophers. And you know, and obviously the culture there has changed a little bit. The faces have changed. But, you know, from the moment Jerry Kill went to Minnesota and everything he had accomplished at Northern Illinois, he changed things there. There's a different feeling there. And I understand, you know, their ultimate goal isn't just to win 8 or 9 games a season. They want to be competing for the Big Ten title. But the amount of competitiveness that they've had, this has still been a pretty one-sided rivalry in terms of when it come down to the Badgers. But they're going to give it their best shot. And I think that's going to be an exciting matchup to watch. And from the Badgers' perspective, seeing how they've kind of rallied. We talk so much about the Packers and their injury situation. Seeing what Wisconsin's overcome, not only with their defense, their kicker, the different elements that have been in play throughout the course of the season, the rotation with the quarterbacks. There's been a lot of things to navigate there for Paul Chryst, and he's done an exemplary job of getting through it.
Yeah, kind of an amazing season, really, for the Badgers. Nobody expected them to be in this position. Everything got started right here at Lambeau Field with the upset victory over LSU in the College Classic on Labor Day weekend. And, you know, I'll throw in a plug for my hometown. Paul Chryst is actually from my hometown of Platteville, Wisconsin. Even though all the TV reports and even in Madison, they say he's from Madison. They never say he's from Platteville. So that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah,
where's the
Platteville pride there?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he quarterbacked my high school to a state championship when I was in sixth grade. I watched the game. He was
impressive.
he was our Platteville quarterback.
A big
weekend in Big Ten football. But we'll get back to talking about the NFL after the break. Thanks for indulging us there on a little diversion into college football. But back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we always do, our final segment of the week, we take a look at the other key games around the NFL, particularly in the NFC, coming up on Sunday. And when I take a glance at the schedule, the first one that jumps out at me is Arizona at Atlanta. The Cardinals coming off of a frustrating loss in Minnesota last week, in which they lose by 6, but they gave up a pick 6 of 100 yards and a 100-plus yard kickoff return. So 14 points from Minnesota's special teams, and the Cardinals go down by 6 points. Heading into Atlanta now to face a Falcons team that has been very, very tough at home, leading the NFC South, and the Cardinals heading in there, much like a situation like the Packers, they're trying to hang in this playoff race in the NFC.
Well, and it seems like every week you and I have talked about this, Mike, but just how the NFC has played out this year, I could have never predicted it in terms of Green Bay and the situation that it's in. Arizona and Carolina kind of working from behind right now. The Cardinals, in a lot of ways, I think, have mirrored the Packers in terms of you've seen everything. You've seen them have success, and you've seen them have really good operations in all three phases of the game, but it just hasn't been done consistently enough. It just hasn't been getting it all on the same page. And that's what you saw in that loss a week ago. I think they were right there. Now Carson Palmer got hit way too much.
Yeah.
But they were in the thick of the thing, and it doesn't get any easier. Now you get Atlanta, you get a more high-potent offense that's going to test their defense. I think the Cardinals, off the top of my head, still leading the league in total defense right now.
Okay.
But offensively, just trying to get back into that rhythm has been a challenge.
Yeah, and when you look at the Falcons, you know, they are going to maybe start looking over their shoulder a little bit, because a quarterback by the name of Jameis Winston down in Tampa Bay is getting some things done for the Buccaneers. He's got Tampa Bay back to a 5-5 record, and now one of those things that, not to use a cliche, but one of those that you maybe call it a statement game potentially for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks looking like the powerhouse that they've been in some previous years, but Tampa Bay, kind of a hot team right now, getting to face the Seahawks at home. That's an awfully long flight from Seattle to Tampa, a tough road trip, and a very curious game on Sunday to see how it plays out.
Yeah, longest one in the NFL, the continental United States, I should say, for those two teams to match up. Tampa Bay's impressed me for one reason. They have dealt with a lot in their backfield. Everybody expected Doug Martin was going to be the guy this year. I drafted him in the first round of my fantasy football Football League.
Good for
Maybe
you.
Maybe it was a second round. But whatever the case may be, I was expecting a big year out of him. They had to go on for a number of weeks without him with the hamstring injury. Charles Sims goes down. But Jameis Winston has been the constant. Listening to him talk after that win last week, you can see why people rally around this kid. I mean, he has a big personality, a big voice, and this what Dirk Koetter has built there offensively, it's starting to blossom. Now, this is a huge challenge against Seattle. They make mice out of a lot of men with those with that defense. So for them to go in there and establish themselves, that's going to be key. But to be at 5-5 when 3 weeks ago I thought Atlanta was running away with that division, it says a lot of. It's a testament to their really being able to pull together and find a way to get some wins.
Yeah, that was no slouch of a victory by the Buccaneers to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs, who had been playing some pretty darn good football since Kansas City had lost that, I think it was a really bad Sunday night game against Pittsburgh. But then after that, the Chiefs really got rolling, and then and Tampa Bay was able to pull out a close one there and get themselves right back into the thick of it. Another one in the NFC to look at briefly, Los Angeles, the Rams traveling to New Orleans. This is two teams that are 4-6. So really at the end of the day, you're looking at one team that will be kind of hanging in the playoff race and the other one potentially falling out of it. Two teams that have had their ups and downs and very different in terms of offensive production and defensive prowess, I guess you might say. This is just a really interesting matchup.
The Rams are staying in every game because of that defense and being able to keep scores really, really low.
Yeah.
And then the Saints, Drew Brees and that offense can't put up enough points. It's going to be exciting to watch. I'm really interested to see who wins that battle between the Rams offense and the Saints defense. But offensively, watching the Saints match up against what Los Angeles is doing defensively, I think is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, for sure. The playoff picture is going to start coming into focus here in the NFC as we go along, and we'll have plenty to talk about in the weeks ahead. But that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.